Right. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be the heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words "it was counted to him" were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification.
So last week, we learnt from Hosea 13 about the rescue that we all need. For those of us who are here, you may remember, we need to be rescued from our idolatry, our pride, and from death as well. The Apostle Paul says that Jesus is the one who provides this rescue. He can save us from sin and death. And he teaches us that the way to be included in his rescue is to simply trust in him, to have faith in him. We cannot in any way contribute to our own salvation. It is through faith alone that we can be rescued from sin and death. But then this does go against all human religions, doesn't it? They teach that it is by our works that we are saved. Just think of Ramadan, which is just finished. Long periods of fasting that will earn us merit in God's sight. That's just one example. And so how can we be sure that simply trusting in Jesus is legitimate? How do we know that it's right? You know, all the other religions are saying that you need to earn your salvation by works. And so how can we be sure that if we simply trust in what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, that is going to work, that is going to cut it? And I think even Christians find this difficult to accept as well. I was chatting to a Christian friend recently, and he finds it really hard to simply believe to believe that faith alone is enough. He says that there's a small voice inside his head that says, look, God will only be pleased with us if we get everything right. If we read our Bibles, pray, go to church, evangelize, share the gospel with others, and so on. It doesn't quite seem enough to simply rely on Jesus' death and resurrection to be made right with God. We need to play our part too. Well, Paul, the apostle who wrote the letter of Romans, faced similar objections. And that is why he wrote this chapter. He was defending this teaching of salvation by faith alone against those who said otherwise. The Jewish establishment at the time taught the opposite. They had completely misunderstood the Old Testament. Their religion was based on good works and not on faith alone. They trusted in their own laws to get right with God. And so, of course, they would have rejected Paul's teaching of salvation by faith alone. This would have been outrageous to them. In fact, they argued that the patriarch Abraham was saved by works and not faith. Abraham was the Jews' first and most respected ancestor. And if he was saved by works, then everyone else following after him, surely, would be saved by works as well. And so in light of these claims, how could the Roman church, how could the Christians living in Rome be sure that faith alone was legitimate? Well, let's have a look at what Paul says. You'll be able to see an outline of the talk on your handouts. So our first point, faith alone is consistent. Faith alone is consistent. Let me read verses 1 to 5 again. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. So what is Paul saying here? He is saying that faith alone is consistent. All the way back, right at the start of the Old Testament, Abraham, the patriarch, the first ancestor of the Jews, was saved by faith and not works. Back in Genesis 15, we read that Abraham believed God and was made right with him there and then. God declared him to be righteous because Abraham trusted in God's promise of salvation. It had nothing to do with Abraham's good works. Verse 4 says that salvation was not something that he earned after many years of hard work. It wasn't his wages. No, rather, as verse 5 tells us, Abraham was justified because he believed in the God who saves sinners. And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. So Paul makes it really clear that works did not contribute in any way to Abraham's salvation. It was his faith alone that saved him. It was his trust in God that made him justified. right with God. But that's not it. Paul also brings in another witness, King David, in verse 6. King David was another Old Testament VIP. He was around 1,000 years after Abraham. And David believed also that we are saved by faith alone. He wrote in Psalm 32, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin." If we read the whole of the Psalm, Psalm 32, we learn that God forgives the sins of those who say sorry to him. He does not forgive them because of their good works. No, he forgives them because they say sorry to him. That's the key. That's exactly what happened to David himself. He sinned by committing adultery with Bathsheba, as many of us will have read in the Old Testament. But when he confessed his sins to God, God forgave him. So it wasn't because of his works. It was because he went to God and asked God for forgiveness, and God answered his prayer and forgave him. How can we be sure that the COVID vaccines that many of us will have had actually work? Well, one key way is through the clinical trials that take place. Because lots of people have had it and it's worked for them, we can have confidence that it will work for us too. And the same is true of faith alone. Because Abraham trusted in God, God made him right with him. Because David said sorry to God, God forgave his sins. And so for us, we too can be sure that if we trust in God's promise, if we ask God for forgiveness, he too will forgive us and make us right with him. And so we can see here that faith alone is consistent throughout the whole Bible, right from the start of the Old Testament. God's people have always been saved by faith alone. They have never been saved by works throughout the history of the Bible. The Jewish establishment actually got it wrong completely. It is not that Abraham and David were saved by works, and then when Paul showed up, we're now saved by faith. No, faith alone wasn't something that Paul came up with. Faith alone is consistent throughout the entire Bible. Abraham trusted in God, God saved him. David said sorry to God, and God forgave him. And so if we believe God's promise of salvation through Jesus Christ, God will make us right with him. Okay, so we've seen that faith alone is consistent. And now Paul goes on to say that faith alone is inclusive. It includes both Jews and Gentiles. That's our second point. Let me read verses 9 to 12. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised, that's the Jews, or also for the uncircumcised, that's for everyone else? We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Paul's point in these verses is that faith alone is inclusive. What this means is that both Jews and Gentiles, that's non-Jews, can be saved. Paul brings in Abraham as his example again. Abraham was saved by faith before he was circumcised. Verse 10, it was not after, but before. Circumcision was just an outward sign to confirm the inward reality. The reality was that Abraham had already been saved. And so circumcision is like the certificate that you get after passing an exam or after having had the COVID jab. You've already done it, but the certificate confirms that. Yeah. Paul goes on to explain in verse 11 why Abraham was saved before he was circumcised. It says, the purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. In other words, God's purpose was to make Abraham a forerunner. He'd be the first of many others who would follow in his footsteps. The point is that Abraham was saved by faith alone, and so that everyone following him could also be saved in the same way. They can now trust in God's promise of salvation and be made right with God just as he was. And the amazing thing is that this doesn't just apply to the Jews, Abraham's physical descendants, but it applies to non-Jews as well. Gentiles can also be saved by faith alone. Even though they are not circumcised, they too can be saved if they trust in God's promise of salvation in Jesus. Now, the COVID vaccine can be administered to pretty much everyone. Young and old, rich and poor, black and white, male and female. If we get the jab, we will benefit from its protection. Well, the same is even more true of salvation by faith alone. It guarantees protection of all who have it. All of us here, whether Jewish or Gentiles, can be saved if we trust in Jesus. Whatever our ethnic background, we can follow in Abraham's footsteps. We can become Abraham's sons and daughters if we share in his faith. We do not need to be circumcised in order to be made right with God. What really counts is trust in God, faith alone. So we've now seen that faith alone is consistent, it's inclusive. Our third and final point is that faith alone is effective. It works. Let me read verses 13 to 16 again. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So Paul now focuses in on God's promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. The question is, how could someone become Abraham's son and heir? Was it through keeping the law, or was it through faith? Was it through works or faith? Well, Paul is really clear here. It is through faith and not through works. Because if it is through works, then faith is useless. It cannot save. But the opposite is actually true. Faith is effective. It is powerful. It does save. In fact, it is faith that makes someone a son of Abraham. It is the way through which Jews and Gentiles can become the sons and heirs of Abraham. Now, Paul carries on in verse 17. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Paul's point here is that faith alone gives life to the dead. It is really effective. Abraham was around 100 when God made the promise to him to be the father of many nations. But the problem was that not only was he so old, but his wife Sarah had been barren for many decades. And so it seemed humanly impossible for them to have any children. And yet, Abraham did not doubt God's promise of offspring. He knew that God would be able to deliver on his promise. And so it says that he grew strong in his faith. He was fully convinced in his mind that God was able to give life to the dead. And so what happened? Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. In other words, God did deliver on his promise. He did provide Abraham with a son and heir. Now that's Isaac. So what this shows us is that faith alone works. It really is effective. God does promise. God does deliver on his promise. It is through trusting in God that God then answers, God fulfills his promise. The amazing thing is that faith alone wasn't just effective for Abraham. It wasn't only the way in which Abraham received a son and heir. But faith alone is effective for us as well. Verse 24 says that we too can become a son of Abraham if we believe in the same God who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord. We too will inherit the world if we trust that Jesus was delivered up for our sins and raised for our justification. In other words, if we trust that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and was raised to life to make us right with God. Imagine if the COVID vaccine was so effective that it could actually bring dead people back to life. I know that's impossible, but just indulge me for a second. Imagine if it was so powerful that it could raise people back to life. And this was actually proven in clinical trials. A dead person got the vaccine and came back to life. Well, that would bring hope to us, wouldn't it? Hope of resurrection life, of life beyond the grave. Well, Abraham's example makes the same point, because it shows us that trusting in God actually does bring dead people to life. It shows us that God can give life to the dead. He is able to call into existence the things that do not exist, because he is the God who gives life, who does the impossible. The same God can give life to us. We who are spiritually dead people can become sons and heirs of Abraham. And it is through faith alone that this happens. So to conclude, how do we know that faith alone is legitimate? After all, the religions of this world teach the opposite. They say that it is through works that we can be justified, that we can be made right with God. Well, Abraham's example shows us that faith alone really is legitimate, because it is consistent with the whole of the Bible, with Abraham, with David, with Paul. It is inclusive. It includes both Jews and Gentiles. So all of us here are included. If we trust in God's promise of salvation, we too can be saved. And then finally, Abraham's example shows us that faith alone is effective. It is powerful. It can raise dead people to life. And so doesn't this give us certainty that by simply trusting in the gospel of Jesus, this has indeed made us right with God. We can be made right with God. It has brought us from death to life. and turned us into sons and heirs of Abraham. And it guarantees that one day we too will inherit the world. Praise God. Why don't we